Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Okay, we'll get Lowell this time. Lowell, this is Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 5. I'll put it up when I have to find it. It says this. Okay. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. Draw near to hear. That's what you go to God with. For they do not know that they do evil, fools. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Well, I used to have way too many words with God. And see, what God is more interested in, our walk than our talk. Now, a lot of people talk prayer a lot. You hear a lot of that. What's wrong? What's going on in your Christian life? Well, you need to pray more. Sounds good. I can accept that one. But however, what God wants to hear, he would like us to be a little more obedient. You know, he's looking at our life and he's saying, this guy's praying all the time, but he's not listening. Something's not happening down there because he's the same thing he's been. Nothing's changed. So God gives us all these conditional verses through the scriptures. We've got conditional verses have if in front of them. Does anybody know any if verses? Does anyone know an if verse? Starts with if?
If you abide in me, my words abide in you.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, what? Yeah. Yeah. So, if you're not abiding, and you're whipping all these prayers out, I don't know. Doesn't sound good, does it? So it sounds like a lot of rashness goes on. So in prayer, God is asking us to simply talk to him as you're reading your Bible. That's a great way to pray. And then another time to pray is with your wife. Another time to pray is with your Timothy. Short prayers, things that are needed, things that are evident. You can pray, if you want to go pray around the world, you can do that. You can be a prayer warrior, and there are prayer warriors, I guess. But I don't think that prayer warriors are kind of lifted up in the Christian culture as being something special. But you guys are the ones that are really special. Your prayers, the short prayers, the prayers that God wants to hear from you and from your heart is what God is interested in. Really critical. So when we pray now, it's simple. It doesn't last a long time. We pray about things that we think God is really interested in, and we try to think about things that we think are important and that he has put upon us. So, two things that I would suggest to you in your prayers, and this is really basic for the Christian, is that we pray and we wait on God. Two things, pray and wait. And then it's the most exciting life to live. There's nothing to do here. There's nothing to get excited about. There's nothing to get overwhelmed about. If you're praying and waiting, God will do and accomplish all that needs to be accomplished in your life. Does that sound overly simple? It does to me. But I'm telling you, it works. Because he says that's what to do. How many know a verse, wait on the Lord? Does anyone know a verse that says, wait on the Lord? Do you? Nobody does? Wait on the Lord and he'll renew your strength. Wow. It's a good one. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. I will do it. Yeah, I will wait. Wait. Yeah, wait. Wait. None of us want to wait. We live in an instant culture. Amazon.com. I can't wait. I'll get it tomorrow. Well, God's, this is not where God is. God is teaching us things as we're going through life, and he wants us to pray for them and then wait. So I have to, my disciples, working with the guys that we're discipling, that's another critical thing. If something comes up, when you're with them, just say, let's pray about these things we've had today and talked about. If we pray about them. And then God does them. And then God reveals himself to the Timothy. This is the process. So, the lost, which I'm very interested in, Don and I try to give our lives to numbers of lost people that come into our homes. We're connected with them. We play cards with them. We do all kinds of things with people that are non-believers. And we try to get our lives in front of them and love them. The only thing that we have to be concerned about is waiting on the Lord for the opportunities to share the gospel with these people that are lost, that are nowhere. So I'll give an example. I remember one time Donna was meeting with this lady, and they were talking, and Donna had come home, and I said, well, how'd the meeting go? It went good. She said, they're having some problems, and she's kind of troubled. So what do you think of trouble is? Oh, well, she says, you know, George is, he thinks every time she rolls over in bed that it's foreplay. So what does that mean? That means that he has no music at all. So if she's in bed sleeping and she rolls over on her back, George thinks it's foreplay. So, I mean, he's hopping around, hopping on her, you know? And so he says, George just doesn't get it. And she tries to tell him, but he doesn't get it. There's no music. He doesn't take her anywhere, doesn't go anywhere. There's no music to the relationship. So the gospel is the same way. If you're sharing the gospel and there's no music, it's not going to go over very well. So what is the music of the gospel? Does anybody know what that is?
Conversation.
Oh, that would be a good one. What else?
Relationship.
Okay. What else?
Time.
Time, yeah. Anything else?
Meeting them where they are.
What?
Meeting them where they are.
Meeting them where they are. Uh-huh. Anything else?
Listen.
What?
Playing cards,
yeah, that's good. What's that? I couldn't hear it.
She said selflessness.
Selflessness, okay.
Laughter.
Laughter, okay. What's that?
Consistency.
Consistency, yeah. How about love? How about love? Love would be a good one. I mean, how about if the people think, I think these people love us. I think these people really care about us. I mean, they really care. That's a loud music. So we have to figure out how do we do this and how do we do it. So we're constantly thinking, how do we love people? How can we be more involved in loving them? What does that look like? You know? So for every person it's a little bit different, but this is kind of the challenge that we have. So George, the guy with his wife, I mean, all he wants to do is what he wants to do. He's not much interested in anything about her. So it's the same with the gospel. We've got to care for the people and show love to the people before husbands love your wives. Christ loved the church. This lady was not feeling loved at all. There was no love. So the gospel and relationships is the same thing. Learning to do that, the music. So for us, I heard a guy say one time, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely point the way. And so what we're doing is holding the gospel till God wants to reveal the gospel. It's revealed through the music of the gospel, and then the gospel at the right time is shared. We have one couple particularly right now that we've been praying a lot for. We spent a lot of time. They're Do we have any Democrats here? Anybody a Democrat? No? Not one Democrat in the room? I don't get political very often, but, and I'm not political really, but there's Democrats and there's Republicans. But often the Democrats see these Christians as Republicans. They think Republicans and Christians are all the same. So they're a very heavy field. Well, these people are Democrats are hard to reach, and you've got to be careful and wait upon God to share it with them and love them a lot. And then they get ready. So this, I'll share this three-year process with this one couple. We were riding back from the casino, and they're sitting in the front, we're in the back, Don and I. And he says, he's talking about his brother-in-law. He says, our brother-in-law, he's the biggest ass. He's a born-again Christian. So Don and I look at each other, just kind of laugh at them. So we go to their house, and everything that when we're playing cards, everything is liberal that comes over the TV. And Obama, if Obama's speaking, like, we have to have Obama on while we're playing cards. So I mean, it's a field that is really a hard field, and so we're waiting on him. Now we've gotten to the place they know what we are. And we still haven't. The last time we were with them, they began talking about religion and these different religions and religion this, religion that. And Donna just nodded. That is weird. We just kind of go along with everything that they're doing. Now, the time's going to come. They are so... See, curiosity in the gospel is very important. People have to get curious before they really begin the process. So learning to reach these people is being patient, waiting on God. I can't tell you the number of times I've come home with them and I've said, God, I've asked you again, please open a little bit of a crack with these people, and nothing. So we just keep going. And in fact, they called us to be with them this week. So we've got, we're friends. They've come to our house, they've been down to our bay house, and we're friends. And we've been over 3 years, and we're waiting. Now, someone would say, I know a lot of you would say, jump that dude, man, lay that gospel on him and run, but the Lord is in control. So, the greatest thing I think that we can do, there are two things that we're really involved with, and I think what I've said this week, what's my time, Randy? 5 minutes ago. The things I've said this week is win people and disciple people, and fall in love with Jesus. That's it. It's a very simple thing. I'd take the first one first. I didn't give them in the right order, but to fall in love with Jesus, and then number two, what would that be?
Win,
and disciple, win. Whatever you choose to do, it can go in either way. So, in closing, I'll just say my closing words to you. By the way, it's just been great being here this week, and for me, I've really been blessed. I used to think the scripture memory was the greatest thing you can do in the scriptures. I don't think that anymore. I've changed my mind, and I think that it's reading the Bible. And because when you read the Bible, the more that you do read it, the more it starts getting into your world and your life, and when you continue in it. In fact, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then surely you are my disciples. So it's getting into his word, staying in his word, continuing, and once you continue this reading of the Bible, it goes on and on. Scripture memory also would be number two for me, and it used to be number one, but now I think it's read the Bible. So after you read the Bible, after you start in it and you read it, you read it again. And then you finish that time, and then you read it again. And then after that, you read it again. Now the only promise that I've made to God is that I will read the Bible as long as I can see on a regular basis. That's it. That's what I'm. I promised him I will do that, because Solomon says, "Don't be, you know, don't be rash with your mouth. Walk prudently. Be careful what you say. Don't make promises that you can't." He said, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you've vowed. Better not vow than to vow and not pay." So I'm not going to mess around with that baby, I tell you that. I'm not going to run around making a lot of foolish vows to God. So I've made one, that I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to promise you, Lord, that's what I'm going to do as long as you leave me with sight on a regular basis. I'm not going to quit. And so you just continue. You get a different version. Next time you get a different version, you got the Message, you got the Living Bible, you've got the King James Version, you've got the NIV Version, you've got the Oswald Chambers Bible, you've got, you know, you've got all kinds of Bibles, and you've got all, you know, they're all great. It's the Bible. Okay, so if you read the Bible over and over, after a while, it starts fitting. Everything starts fitting like a glove. One place to the other, and you read this, then you read that. The Old Testament starts fitting with the New Testament, starts melding together, and it becomes a whole mesh of God's Word that starts getting into you and becomes your, that's all you, that's all you don't have anything else. In other words, it's just that. That is awesome. And so I would encourage you, if you're not doing it yet, Craver Moore, by the way, did a really good seminar on this yesterday, those that were there. He really had a great workshop. This is called, I'm just going to share a nugget with you. This is my favorite Bible. And I've had other favorite Bibles, so this is my newest favorite Bible. I think this might be my last favorite. This is called The Daily Bible in Chronological Order. And it has 365 daily readings. And I think it's out of print. But I don't read this. I don't read the Bible in a year. I read the Bible in about a year and a half, maybe even a little bit more than that, because I do a lot of other things, and I'll get things that I want to check out, or things that I want to do in my quiet time a little bit different. But I'm always reading it, so I may skip a day reading, and I may be in something else. I may skip a day totally. I only have 2 minutes. I don't have time today. Very seldom does this happen, but might not have time. But don't get under any rules or law with it, but just begin the process of reading it. Now, I'm telling you this, and I truly believe this. If you do this, this is better than a graduate certificate from the greatest seminary in the country. It's true. I mean, I'm telling you, people that go to the seminary, they don't read the Bible. Half of them don't even read it. You think that's a little rash, that statement? Huh? It's true. I mean, it's true. So if you've read this for 20 years, 15, 20 years, over and over, man, you've got it in you. It's in you. He's going to get it into your heart. See, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So you read this, I mean, your heart is going to change. You're going to be a new person. I mean, you're going to grow, you're going to continue to grow. So this is what it's all about. Timothy, Operation Timothy, how many, I got about a minute. Am I over? 1 minute? Okay. Operation Timothy is where we start. So I would suggest also that if you have not been discipled, that you would find someone and humble yourself and find someone to disciple you. There's loads of them around here, and you can find them somewhere. And on the other hand, if you don't have a Timothy, find one. Ask one. I told you the story of Nick. Nick didn't know anything. I was with a guy. One day I was telling him this story. You need to find a man. He said, I don't know who a man is. And I'm sitting in one of these restaurants with like a La Madeleine or something, and these people are sitting around. I said, just ask somebody. I said, see this guy? He was frustrated. I was a little frustrated. I said to him, see this guy over here? I said, I'll bet he's never read the Bible. He said, What do you mean? I said, excuse me, sir. I said, have you ever read the Bible? He said, no, I haven't. I said, if someone would ask you to meet with them and show you some things from the Bible, would you do that? I think I would. And this is a guy in the street. It's simple. This is simple stuff. So what does God say? The Lord says, just go ask somebody. You know, find somebody. So this is where you get started. This is faith. And if you say to God, I've asked 10 guys, God, and I don't have one yet. Okay, well then I'd quit. I have one of these. So if anyone would like it, if you'd like to have it, you can have it. And I buy these on eBay. And I think they're out of print, but I buy them and I buy them used.
They also have the reading plan available. I use that as a reading plan.
Do you use this?
Not the Bible app. Yeah.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, so you can just punch up.
Oh, look at here. See, I'm learning all kinds of. So you can tell us how do you do that?
I'll just email it to you.
Okay. So this is like a reading plan, huh?
Yep.
On this Bible? On this, the daily, this one here? Oh, this is no good. I'm sorry. I apologize to you. Can you take this off? Let me just pray.
Yes.
Let me just pray. Does that work? That's good. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for these people. I thank you for the week that I've had with them. I thank you for the blessings they've been to me. I thank you for the future of our lives. And as I think of Isaiah 60:22, that these people, who I know many of them think themselves to be insignificant, that they would trust you with Isaiah 60:22, and that a little one might become a thousand, and yea, a small one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in my time. So we look to you to accomplish that and to do it. Only you can do that in the lives of people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Dick.
Okay.